This is the Uptick Network Stock Day Podcast, sponsored by InvestorsHangout.com. Penny stock news and interviews from the microcap world. Public information on OTC, pink sheets, and microcap stocks from around the world. With your host, Everett Jolly.
On today's show, we have a returning guest. I'm very excited to have him back on the show. He is George Anastatov. He is the CEO of Exium Biotechnologies, Inc., and they trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol AXIM. George, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much for having me again.
I'm really excited because I think the space that you guys are in is you guys have the world as an oyster. I mean, this Cantitude cannibal gum that you guys have, I want to talk about that today. But before we get started, why don't you give the listeners a little bit of background on yourself and your company and how you got involved as the CEO of the company?
Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, by training, I am a surgeon. I train in general surgery, plastic surgery, oral and maxillofacial surgery, and I hold a fellowship in craniofacial and base of the skull surgery from Germany, from University of Münster. I have a medical degree, dental degree, and I have an MBA as well. So I'm somewhat of a businessman as well. So how did we get involved in that? Well, approximately 14 years ago, before all the hoopla in the United States and worldwide about medical cannabis, a colleague of mine and a partner, Dr. Philip Van Dam, who is also a craniofacial surgeon from the Netherlands, we were entertaining thoughts about coming up with novel classes of analgesics, because the ones available then and today, there is not much imagination there. You have opioids and you have non-steroidals and the combinations between the two. And it so happened that both of them have quite severe side effects, and I'm not going to dwell on that. You all know about the prescriptive painkiller epidemic in the United States, where 44 people die per day. And there is nothing there that can, is alleviating the pain, if you will, the pain of addiction, the pain of side effects. So we were thinking about alternative preparations, and we thought about cannabis, of course, which was very well known to have strong analgesic as well as anti-inflammatory properties. But we all knew that it was used mostly 99% in inhalable form in smoking. And smoking, of course, is not good. It doesn't matter what one smokes, whether it's cigarettes or crack or whatever.
I mean, exactly.
Nothing that combusts in your mouth and gets transferred to the lungs is good for your health. I mean, all of this cause lung cancers and so on. So we said, well, okay, we know that cannabis is good. We know that cannabis is a very rich plant. At the time, there were 80 alkaloids isolated. Today, I believe they are close to 115. So there were a few issues. One was that how do we deliver it in the most efficient way? B, what exactly we should deliver? Should it be THC? Should it be CBD? Should it be a combination between the two? Or should it be a third, fourth, fifth? Should there be flavonoids there, so-called terpenes, or not? And also the problem is, it's much more complex than that. If you swallow cannabis, let's say it's a candy, cookie, chocolate, or whatever eatable form that may be, the problem is, if it contains THC, the THC and the cannabinoids in general bypass through the gut, then go into the liver, the so-called first-pass metabolism, and the THC gets converted to 11-hydroxy-THC, which is a toxic metabolite, and that's what makes people nauseous, that's what makes people paranoid, and so on. So if you ingest something containing cannabis, approximately 80, sometimes 90% of it gets converted to 11-hydroxy-THC. If you smoke cannabis, only 20% gets converted to 11-hydroxy-THC, and the reason for that is not miraculous. It's very simple, because if you smoke something, it enters the alveolar circulation in the lungs, and through there goes and hits your brain and your target organs. Now, if it goes through the gut, of course, it goes to the liver and gets transformed into these toxic metabolites. So how could we bypass that? How could we deliver it? Bypassing the first-pass metabolism, deliver it efficiently, and deliver the right alkaloids. So we were not that smart, so we looked into the Nicorette model, and when we knew that it's quite efficient, I mean, there's 7 different types of nicotine cessation therapy, and one of them, of course, is chewing gum, which perhaps is the most efficient, this 4 milligrams of nicotinic acid, which are delivered through the gum. And so that was our model, and at that time, we didn't know that the mere act of chewing perhaps also play quite a significant role. And when we started our preclinical work at the University of Amsterdam in the Netherlands, We had assigned at that time a PhD candidate who eventually brilliantly defended her thesis, and the topic of the thesis was mastication or chewing as neuroprotectant. And for us it was quite interesting. We didn't know that the act of chewing is neuroprotective, but it turns out that it is. So in our delivery system, I think that one and one actually equals more than three, because on one hand you have the protective mechanism of the chewing, on the other one, of course, you have the cannabinoid delivery in a sustainable form, in a controlled release form, and that's our IP, of course. So that's how we started, and then a few years down the road, actually quite in the beginning, we met a very talented chemist, Dr. Changur, Lekram Changur, also from the Netherlands, and who had experience already with chewing gums, because he's the one who developed the IP for the active oxygen treatment. And active oxygen is chewing gum, which people chew to brighten their teeth, and also gum disease, because it delivers active oxygen. So we needed somebody who was a chemist, and so we were lucky to meet him. And we delivered this system, which in a controlled fashion deposits cannabinoids in the oral mucosa, from where it reaches the central circulation. So similar to smoking, similar to Sativex, if you will, which started also more or less the same time when we started our work. And so, yeah, that's how we started. Then by the year 2012, we were starting running out of money, because mind telling you that all of this was done with money from our own pockets. We didn't have any corporate sponsors.
Right.
And at that time, the company, it still exists, of course, it's called Sanamat Foundation, because it was a holder of intellectual property. And in 2012, we created a joint venture with the first publicly traded in America medical marijuana company, Medical Marijuana Inc. And we created Kenchu Biotechnologies, and that was a 50-50 joint venture with MMI, where we delivered, where we developed the IP, and they were bringing the finances. And that led to the production of the first of its kind on the market product, a chewing gum containing 10 milligrams of CBD, cannabidiol, extracted from industrial hemp, without any, well, I mean, there are traces of THC, 11 parts per million, if I'm not mistaken, or 0.11 parts per million, so way below what is considered to be a legal limit in Canada or United States. So it's a gum which I think was a success, because it really worked. It's very well liked by the clients. But again, we're a small company. We didn't have much capital to invest into marketing and sales. But still, the gum is available in all 50 states and in 40-plus countries worldwide. So I think that it was a good start. It was the alpha. And meanwhile, of course, our focus remained on the clinical trials for a pharmaceutical product, which is called MedChewRx. And this is designed for specific indications, which is pain and spasticity in multiple sclerosis. We have a few other tracks, clinical and preclinical, which are going on. But in 2014, we bought a company, a small company on the OTC market called Axiom International. And Axiom International was involved with alternative energy, with procurement of energy from spent tires. But I don't think that they got too far. But for us, it was interesting, because we also have IPs related to alternative energy based on cannabinoids, on the spent products of cannabinoid extraction. And so that's how we opened Axiom and converted International into biotechnologies. And that's where Axiom is today. So we are startup. We are moving very cautiously and very slowly. It's, as you all know, it's
so let me ask you this. So let me ask you this. On your MedChewRx gum, where are we at in the process of that? Are we still in R&D? Are we monetizing that? When are we going to see some revenues from that product?
Well, we will see revenues once the product is registered with FDA and EMA and is on the market. So what can I tell you so far is that there is, vivid interest from Big Pharma to this product. We have an MOU with two Israeli companies which are interested in bringing the product to their market in the Middle East. We have a contract with an American company, which I'm not going to mention by name, but this is the largest producer of controlled substances probably in the world. And they would like to use our delivery mechanism to deliver their synthetic cannabinoids for specific indications for nausea and vomiting. for patients on chemotherapy. So there's quite a bit of interest, but all this interest will grow or fade depending on the clinical results. So where are we today? Well, I don't know if you know, probably you do. The THC is a very volatile molecule, whether it's synthetic or natural. THC or room air oxidizes and auto catabolizes, so it will never pass FDA scrutiny. So we had to come up with a solution. How can we prevent THC from oxidation? And so we developed the technology. It's our IP as well. It's applied, so I can share it. It's a microencapsulation in supercritical nitrogen environment, and which prevents the THC from oxidation. But it took us quite a while, a bit of time to come to that point, because again, pharmaceutical product is not a confectionery product. It has to be absolutely stable. I mean, for months and months and months and years. Otherwise, it would never pass the scrutiny of FDA. So the plan here is to have to complete the phase three of clinical trials by the end of 2017 and to apply for EMA, which is the European Medicines Authority, and FDA for full registration of the product, which we anticipate to happen before 2018. So that's where we stand.
I was going to say, it's going to be a lot easier to get it passed through the EMA than it is through the FDA.
Probably yes, for numerous reasons. One of these reasons is that we work very, very closely with the government of the Netherlands, with the Medical Cannabis Bureau. The three centers which will be conducting the inpatient clinical trials, one is the Free University in Amsterdam, the second one is the University of Plymouth in Great Britain, and the third one probably Boston University. So why would it be easier in Europe? Well, because the climate there towards natural cannabinoids is a little bit friendlier than in the United States. As you know, in the United States, it will be probably close to impossible, at least today, to bring a natural-based cannabinoid product through FDA. And, of course, we know the precedent of dronabinol, or Marinol, that's the commercial name, which was approved in 1985 by FDA. And this is 100% pure THC, but it's synthetic. So FDA looks kinder on products which are synthetic. Why? For a very good reason, because they're much more consistent. They're 100% consistent. When you have products which are based on plant extracts, they cannot be 100% consistent, no matter how well the plant is grown. And that's why I think that our colleagues from the other company that has a product on the market in 28 countries and approved
and that's what Dr. Stuart Titus?
Sorry?
Is that with Dr. Stuart Titus?
No. It has nothing to do with Dr. Stuart Titus. They don't have a product. I'm talking about the GW Pharmaceuticals.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, Sativex, and they're trying to get it through FDA, and I wish them, of course, all the luck, but it will be an uphill battle because FDA doesn't look very kindly on naturally extracted products, especially from cannabis. So we will do two parallel tracks. One is going to be with synthetics, and one is going to be with naturally extracted ingredients. And we will see. I think that with EMA, we will have easier time with the naturals. And I think that with the FDA, probably it will be easier to get through the synthetic products.
When this comes to fruition, this MedChew RX, how big of a market are we looking at? Are we looking at a billion-dollar market? Can you tell my listeners how big this would be?
Well, this has specific indications, and the indications here are, of course, pain and spasticity in multiple sclerosis patients. Now, it's very difficult to get designation for pain because, for example, our colleagues from GW, they were not able to get pain designation. They got spasticity, but not pain. So the market is a multi-billion-dollar market, yes, in the United States and worldwide. But then again, if we will manage to get pain designation, that opens totally different horizon because the pain market is $90 billion worldwide market, and there is nothing new there because, I mean, I'm following very closely what is coming out from Big Pharma in the arena of pain, and it's still the same opioids and derivatives. So I really don't see their major revolution. So if one of us, whichever companies are in this space, will come up with a product which unequivocally proves that it's efficient against pain, whether it's neuropathic pain or acute pain or both, I think that will really be a big game changer. And when you're talking about numbers like that, even if you have 2% of the market or 1% of the market, still it's a very significant number.
My guest today is Dr. George Anastasova. He is the CEO of Exium Biotechnologies. Well, they trade on the OTCQB under the ticker symbol AXIM. We're running out of time here, Dr. George. In closing, is there anything that you would like to get out to my listeners that we didn't get a chance to talk about? I know you got the CBG skin cream. How's that going?
It's going very well. Yeah, we should have the preliminary results from this trial, which is coming from the Netherlands as well, before the end of this month. So we're all very excited to see how that fares, and we have interest from Big Pharma regarding this product as well. So from what I hear from my colleagues from the Netherlands, the results will be very, very interesting and very encouraging. So stay tuned. So that will be before the end of this month. We are working on a couple of other projects, which perhaps we'll discuss with you next time when we don't run out of time. And but stay tuned. Stay tuned. Follow Axiom. And I hope that I will have some exciting news for you in the very near future.
Axiom Biotechnology has been our company today. Our guest has been Dr. George Anastasov. He is the CEO of that company. George, I appreciate you coming on the show, taking time. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we're going to check back with you in a month or two to see how things are going.
Thank you, and the pleasure is entirely mine.